Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School on this April number 5. We're so glad to have you. And I sure miss everybody already. And I'm looking forward to the time when we could all be back together again. But thank the Lord we're able to do this and that you can listen to the Sunday School lesson. This is the lesson I already had planned if we were all going to be here. And I'm just going to teach it. We'll all be in one class together. But I'm so glad that you're listening today. I just want to remind you, as we always do, you know, the birthdays. We've got three birthdays this week. Jessica Reese and Larissa Fair both have a birthday on the 5th, so we say happy birthday to you. And then Mark Biter, the young one, not the old guy. Mark Biter's got one on the 9th. I say happy birthday to him, too. So happy birthday to those folks, and I hope you have a great birthday. And But all of you listening today, I hope that, you know, this will be a little bit different for us all. And I'm sitting here bringing the message without able to see anybody, and I miss your faces in front of me. I really do. But I believe that God can use this, and I hope that you'll listen. Have your Bibles, and we'll look at some verses. We'll look up some things and see some things from the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles with you right now, I hope you do, Ephesians chapter number 1, and we're going to go to verse number 12, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12. And the Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been looking at some of the great blessings. We had said about the book of Ephesians is like a treasure chest. And as we study it, we open up so many different things here that are such really a treasure to us. And one of the great treasures is that we're able to allow our lives to bring honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that we're to be beams of light that shine brightly for the Lord. If you go with me back to the book of Matthew in chapter number 5, Matthew 5, 16, you look in the Bible, tells us here, let your light so shine, now notice this, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, God wants us to glorify him in our Christian lives. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you look there also. And it's good for you maybe to even underline some verses in your Bible. I think it's always a good thing to make notes there and underline some things so you see it later on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what a wonderful thing is that we can shine a light on the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that is in darkness. And you know, we're living in a really difficult time right now. People are worried and fearful, and yet you know what? They need to see we as Christians that we are still shining brightly for the Lord. But I find something else very interesting here. As we go into verse number 13 and 14, we find here that about the Holy Spirit. And I go back to the book of Ephesians there. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, and you know what a wonderful thing it is to know that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and we belong to the Lord. But the Bible says here in verse 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You know, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you've been given this wonderful treasure of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's given to every Christian. You know, don't allow the charismatics to mess you up on this and ask if you've had the Holy Spirit after. No, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. And he's been given to all of us to be a source of comfort and a blessing. And also this to teach us God's truth. Go with me to the book of John. John chapter number 14, And let's go to verse number 26, John chapter number 14 and verse number 26. And the Bible says here, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And so we know that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. That's why, you know, you ever heard people that are not saved, they go, "Man, that Bible, I can't understand anything in that." Well, of course not. They need the Holy Spirit. Well, to get the Holy Spirit, you've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. And so the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He helps us to grow spiritually and become more Christ-like as we yield our lives to him. You know, that's why sometimes people grow in the Lord, some faster than others and some slower. And one of the reasons why is they're just not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them and into the ways they're supposed to go and helping them to grow and become more spiritual in their Christian lives. And what it does when we surrender the Holy Spirit, I believe that we'll develop godly traits and character. Let's go to another portion of scripture, the book of Galatians in chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 22 and verse 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like some wonderful things that could be in our life. Those are godly traits that we're supposed to have. Now, I believe I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a fighting fundamentalist. I'm going to fight the devil. I don't believe in being a pacifist or anything like that. But I know, too, that the Spirit of God can give me this, and if I'll allow, I will see this fruit in my life. And what is that? That's that love, that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Why, those are all wonderful things. You know, we as God's people need to be known, I believe, for a lot of different reasons. But you know, one of the greatest things we ought to be known for is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, if that fruit's there, it's going to be evident. And the world's going to notice it, and those are traits that need to be in our life. I'm telling you this. There's a lot of folks today. They just want to be so crude and so unkind and so hateful about things. I mean, hate the devil all you can. Put all your hate on him. But let's have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so God tells us about this in Galatians, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But if you notice there in verse 14, it says about an earnest, and it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest is, it has the idea of a down payment or a guarantee of the final purchase of a property. You know, God, this is a wonderful thing about the Lord. God will complete what he has started. His promised blessings will be fulfilled. You said, "Preacher, I just don't see how it's going to happen." You might not see, but let me tell you something. God's good to his word, and so his promises will be fulfilled. So the Holy Spirit is evidence, I believe, of God's love for us. It's kind of like, you know, a young lady gets a diamond ring. She gets an engagement ring. Now, what is that? That's a promise of that love from that boy who is in love with her. Says, "I want to marry you." That's that engagement ring. And we have the Comforter. And I was reading a story about a mom one day. She was having a bad day. Now, of course, moms a lot of times have bad days. I thank the Lord for moms. Amen. Won't be long, be Mother's Day. We'll celebrate that. But this mother, she was having a really bad day. The washing machine had broke down. The phone kept ringing. She had a headache, and a bill came in the mail that she had no idea how she was even going to pay for it. And she was at the breaking point and lifted. She took her little one-year-old child and lifted him up and put him in the high chair. And as the child was put in that high chair, she just leaned over on the tray of that high chair and began to cry. And without a word, the little one-year-old boy took his pacifier out of his mouth and put it into his mother's mouth. And I thought, you know, what was he doing? He was trying to comfort his mother. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. You know, in these times we look, and with the virus going on, and our lives are just pretty much turned upside down. Do you know that, hey, the Holy Spirit's with you. He can give you comfort. People say, preacher, what are we going to do? Well, how about this? Let's just trust the Lord. Let's trust Him. I believe we need to be safe. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. But we must not lose our minds and forget to trust the Lord. And so we know that we have the comfort of the Lord, and that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's our comforter, our helper, our encourager. And praise the Lord, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know, whatever the Father decrees, the Son accomplishes, and to the work of the Son, the Holy Spirit sets His seal. You know, the sealing of the believer is the amen, I would have to say, to the work of Jesus. The sealer's God, the seal is the Holy Spirit, and we as believers are saved people, we are sealed. And how wonderful that is. I'm glad I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, aren't you? When you got saved, that happened. Now, you may not all understand it. You know, people get saved, not know what happened, but they know they got born. They got born again, and they know that, you know, they're a Christian, but they may not understand what's happened. But I'll tell you what, that's why as we study the Word of God, how much more exciting it is to stop and think, what happened at the time of salvation? We're sealed. I think about that first mention of sealing is found in John chapter 6 and verse number 27. Why don't we go back there, all right? Yeah, you have to excuse me. I sometimes think I'm still on the radio, and I try not to spend too much time going to Scripture, and so I have everything written down. But I want you to go to Scripture and see what it has to say, and this is new to all of us. If you're sleeping, wake up, all right? And I hope you're learning something from it. I know the kids may be thinking, what is he talking about? But maybe you can explain it to them a little bit later on. But John chapter number 6, and we come to verse number 27. John chapter 6 and verse number 27, the Bible says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now you think about this. In John, the Father seals the Son. And in Ephesians, we find he seals the sons, if you will, we that are saved. The sealing there in John was about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it refers back to him and the reception at the Spirit of the Holy Spirit there at Jordan, at the Jordan River. And it was the custom of the priest to select the lamb from the flock and inspect it for the defects and set the temple seal on it, indicating what it was that it was fit for the sacrifice and for food. The Lamb of God. Think about it. Jesus presented himself for inspection at the Jordan River, and the Father looked down and found him without blemish and spot, and the Father was pleased and put the seal of separation unto the sacrifice and service of the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm glad Jesus, that first mentioning is about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I also know that the seal is for preservation. There's a little book in the Bible called Jude. Let's go back there just before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude, and verse number 1 is what I want us to look at here. And as soon as I get my fingers working, we'll look and see what it says. All right, the Bible says here in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now you think about that we're preserved in Jesus Christ. That's what that seal's for. That seal is for our preservation. And preserving really is a simple process. You know, some of you ladies, you may know how to preserve different items like fruit and vegetables, and you make preserves. You know, my grandmother was one down in Tennessee, and she made everything from scratch. She had everything jarred, and everything was all sealed up. And I remember every morning we'd go down to Tennessee, she'd have eggs and bacon and peach preserves. And I'm telling you what, they were the best things in all the world. Why, good night, I think I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. But oh, how she would do that. But there was some process in that sealing of that jar. And what it is to keep that fruit from spoilage or corruption. And what it does, it reserves that fruit that's in the jar for a day of eating. Now you think about this. We, as a Christian, we're preserved, and where there's going to be a day when that's going to be opened up, and we'll be with the Lord, of course, for that great time there. But we're the Christians called the fruit of Christ's passion. We're preserved in Christ and sealed with Him, with Christ by the Holy Spirit, unto a future day, the day of redemption. Oh, won't that be something? But not only does the seal preserve us, but it also signifies authenticity. It signifies authenticity. You think about it, the Holy Spirit sets his seal that the work of Christ is satisfactory. You know, what Jesus did on the cross was what God was pleased with. God was satisfied. You know, in ancient times, documents were sealed with clay or wax, and they were stamped with a metal, piece of metal or a stone seal on a ring, or sometimes they wore it around their neck, and it was the same as a signature. And the document was not considered valid or genuine without the seal. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit proves the believer is genuine. You know, I have a King James page from the King James Bible, 1611. Years ago, some folks got that for me, and it hangs up in my office, and I love it. I'm a King James man, you know that, but I have it. But I also have a paper that tells me that it is a certificate of authenticity, that it is a page out of an actual 1611 Bible. It's an amazing thing, and it's been preserved. It's in a frame and beautiful. But I have with that the certificate of authenticity. Now think about this. When we got saved, you have a certificate of authenticity also. You say, what is it? A piece of paper? No, it's better than that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it authentic. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You say, preacher, I believe I'm saved, but I don't believe the Holy Spirit is living within me. Well, you're not his then. You're not saved. If you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. Remember, the Lord made the promise of the Spirit of God. He told the folks that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. But what he also went on to say, that he was going to leave a comforter. When he left, the comforter would come. I like singing that song in church, don't you? The comforter has come. Thank the Lord for it. And so the Holy Spirit is that seal of authenticity. But the seal also signifies security. You know, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, King Darius and the nobles placed seals on the stone over the den's entrance so nothing could be changed. To break the seal without the king's consent would mean that they would forfeit their lives. They would die. Now you think about the tomb of Jesus. It was also sealed. Why? It was feared that the disciples would steal his body and claim that he arose. And so they wanted to make sure no one tampered with, and it was, no one would tamper with the seal of the Roman government. Now understand this, we as believers, we that are saved belong to God, and we are safe, we are secure, and we are protected because he is a part of a finished transaction. We have been bought with a price, and we belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You say, why am I not my own? You've been bought with a price, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. So that seal, it is for security, but it also signifies ownership. 2 Timothy 2:19, you want to go there with me on that, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. Now listen to what it says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You think about this, that the Lord knows us, we are His, and I believe the Ephesians, they understood about this relationship and this ownership here. And you know, the people of Ephesus, it was a maritime city, and one of the big things that they dealt in was the trading of timber by the shipmasters. It was a very big business, and what they would do, they would seal the timber. They put their stamp or signet of ownership on the log, and then when the log arrived to them, they were able to go through these logs, you see, and find out which one were theirs, and there was a seal on it. That meant it belonged to them. In the Northlands of Canada, they would cut trees down, and they would carefully stamp those trees with a seal of the owner. And then so months later, the tree could be identified and claimed by those people who owned it. Now, these logs were stored in frozen rivers, and in the spring, the thaw would come, and they'd float the logs down the river to the mills. And so when it finally got down there, through all that time being frozen in the waters, then to float down, there was no difficulty identifying them because of the seals that were on the logs. Now, think about this. We are stamped and sealed for identification by the Lord. The Lord seals us unto the day of redemption. His seal is our security mark of ownership, which is revealed by the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, which we talked about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're His, and it signifies ownership. It also signifies something else. It signifies our destination. If we go back there and to Ephesians and go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 14, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I thought about that praise of His glory. You know, being sealed to the day of redemption implies our destination. There will be a day when we are redeemed, and our salvation, you know, I mean, think about it. Everything will be all complete. I'm looking forward, you know, all the problems we got, you know, I know how it all could be better. The Lord would come. Amen. I mean, wouldn't it be something? The trumpet would sound. We'd rise to be with the Lord on this Sunday. That'd be a wonderful thing. But you know, I don't know when the Lord's coming. I believe He's coming soon. I really do. Any moment. It wouldn't surprise me any moment He'd come, but I'm glad for this. That if He does tarry, I know that my seal is already there, and I have a seal of destination that I'll be with the Lord. You know, the roots of our redemption, they lie in the past of the cross of Calvary. The fruits of our redemption are future in His coming. And so when we look, we think that our past, our present, our future is all there. Go with me to a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's go to verse number 10. Look what it says here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. I don't know if you notice this, but He has delivered us in the past work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 10 again. Who delivered? That's got the past there. And then it says, and doth deliver. That's talking about the present work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say that He will yet deliver us. That's the future work. Oh, thank the Lord for that seal. But you know what that seal is also for? It's a seal of presentation. A seal of presentation. Now, I want you to go with me, that little book again, the book of Jude. There, right before Revelation, Jude chapter 1, of course. But let's go to verse number 24 and verse 25. Look what it says. Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Now think about this. We're going to be presented in glory one of these days with the Lord. There's going to be a presentation day. The day of redemption will be a time when we're presented. You know, at Christmas time, all the presents are all wrapped up and they're sealed. You know, put all kinds of scotch tape on there to keep them all sealed up. Why? for a presentation time, when all of a sudden, you know, the grandkids come over and everybody gathers around and the presents are passed out, and all of a sudden, there they are, beautiful packaging. Now it's time to open it up. You know, one of these days, God is getting us ready for that presentation, and what a wonderful time that will be. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we are His. I'm so thankful today for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Isn't it a wonderful thought? And to know all that's involved, and you may not understand it all, and I don't know if we really all understand everything about it, but what we've talked about today was something that can be a blessing to us, and I think find some comfort in it, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Lord, we're just so thankful that we have this opportunity to meet. And Lord, as we may be some miles apart from each other, our hearts are knitted close together. And Lord, we're all praying to the same God. And Lord, You hear us all, and thank You for it. God bless the folks today in this Sunday school time. Meet every need. And Father, thank You for the Word of God and what You've taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. I love you. And we'll have the sermon. You can listen to the sermon later on here or even right now. I'm gonna preach that in a few minutes. But I appreciate you listening to this Sunday school lesson. God bless you.